I just love being together with the people of God. There is something so special when we are all together worshiping this God of ours together, lifting our voices up to Him, declaring our love for Him. There's just something so special about that. And I don't think anybody does it like Third Thursday does. So thank you so much, guys, for being here so that we can all worship together. Amen. Well, have you welcomed the person sitting next to you, or are you too shy to do that? You can do it now because I've said. Say hi to them, you know, shake their hand. And then once you're done, please turn to the other and you ignored and do the same thing. Tell them you're happy they are here. Amen. And you know, I know all of us, when we come for these services, when we come to a place like this, we're all coming from such different spaces. There are so many different things going on in our lives, so many things we are thinking about. And I want to just encourage you before we even go into the Word today, that God is at work in your life. God is at work in your life. God is at work in your heart. God is at work in the affairs of your life. He's very concerned, very involved. He's not unaware of anything that is going on with you. So please have that confidence tonight that God is for you. He is working in your life for your good. You know, and we are here as believers just worshiping Him because we love the Lord. And we love Jesus. And it's so the Spirit, what we were singing tonight. Because one of the things I was thinking about this morning is it getting better? Is my love for the Lord getting better as the days go by? You know, there's a very soapy song we used to sing when we were younger. Those who are my age will remember it. It went something like, don't laugh so hard, guys. It's not like it was 1697, all right? said, I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. It's just me and Pastor Kevin, guys. Don't draw me like that. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Keep falling in love with you over and over again. It's a nice song. We should teach that Thursday, that song. It's so sad that it's just the two of us that know it. But I was thinking about that this morning. Like, is my love for Jesus getting better? Am I becoming more like Him? Is it getting sweeter and better every day? Because if it's not, then it starts getting tiring. I don't know if you're like me, but if it's not getting sweeter, if it's not getting better, then it starts getting tiring. Is my following of Jesus marked with ever-increasing joy? That when I wake up tomorrow, I'm loving Him more than I did today. That there's a joy on the inside of me that I didn't have yesterday. And over and over and over it grows. Because your walk with God can get burnt out. Especially over time. It's just like you've been walking with Him so long. You don't even remember what it's like to worship, to linger in His presence, to cry, to speak to Him as a friend. It can get burnt out over time. And pressure around us can also cause us to stop enjoying the things we should be enjoying. Especially being a believer. Because the enemy is very good at convincing us that following God is this dreary, long, lifelong punishment. It's like, my goodness, I just have to carry this cross, and it's so hard, and it's so difficult, and oh, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. He's very good at putting us in that place. And sometimes we look at our friends, and it looks like they're the ones who are enjoying life. And we are just gasping for air. For some of us, things have been difficult and you're pushing and striving and heaving and nothing seems to be moving in your direction. And it's become harder and harder to keep following Jesus with joy. Because you know, like Miss Rebecca was saying earlier, this isn't about us singing the song here. This is about us going out there and being more like Jesus. It's going to be hard for us to be more like Jesus if that endeavor is not a joyful endeavor. If we are not excited about following him, excited about being with him, excited about being more like him. Because if you're honest, sometimes it looks like we are getting the raw deal. But I'm here today, church, for just a few moments to stir us up once again for joy in our following of Jesus. My prayer is that we leave here lighter, more confident, more encouraged than you came in. Because this God that we serve is on our side. It is his desire that we serve him joyfully, that we follow him joyfully. In John 15, Jesus says, I have told you these things. I love this scripture. That my joy and my delight may be in you. That your joy and gladness may be of full measure, complete and overflowing. I mean, just the picture of it makes me want whatever that is that he's talking about. That he wants our joy and gladness to be full, to be complete, to be overflowing. He's saying, I have told you these things. What things has he told us? In John 15, he's told us about how we are to remain attached to him, that he's the vine. He's told us how our prayers will be answered when we call on him. He's told us how he has loved us. He's told us to obey his commandments and love each other. All the things that make up our Christian walk. And then he finishes by saying, the reason I'm telling you all these things is that your joy, that there will be delight in you, that there will be joy in you, that it will be glad and complete and overflowing. Joy and delight, full measure. We are to enjoy this Christian walk, filled with joy every step of the way. That's the overflowing that Christ desires for us. How are we going to cultivate this joy? Because we are supposed to have it at all times, even when things are difficult. Because just a chapter later in John 16, 33, he says again, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Now, tribulation is an old word for those of you who maybe haven't come across it before. It means lots and lots and lots of serious and ending trouble. That's really what it means. And he says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be filled with joy. Be filled with gladness. Let it be complete and overflowing in you. Why? Because I have overcome the world. In John 16, just before he says these words, in verse 32, he says, you are about to be scattered. There will be such persecution, you'll be scattered all over the world. But keep your good cheer. How are we going to keep our cheer? Our joy, our excitement in following the Lord in high seasons and in low seasons, when things are okay out there and when they are not, when there's pressure and when there isn't, when other people are doing the wrong things and prospering and you're there following the Lord and it's not working. How are we going to keep following the Lord with joy and excitement? I want to give you three things that you need to remember to keep your joy alive. Number one is what we are a part of. What we are a part of. Now, many of us, if you went to school, we needed to belong to some group or other in school. It's almost like if you are part of this group, then it gave you validation. All right? There are those guys, the backbenchers. There are those guys who never finish their homework. There are those guys who are always late. There are those guys for special diet. It was special diet already. How's your life now with your special diet? How you doing? Yeah, how you doing? They felt so special, you know, special dad people. You know, the guys who always had snacks in school, you needed to befriend them if you wanted the good things. Then there are the smart ones. You know, if you are tiny, you hooked up with the big guys and so on and so forth. You needed to be part of a group. We are always hoping that we are in the right group. You know, I remember when I was in primary school, something got into my head that I would be more accepted, yeah, if I said I wasn't Kenyan. So So I made up this story, guys, about how my mother is from Uganda. You know, that's where our family is originally from. And I'm just here just for study. And I'll go back. I mean, I made up this whole story. It was so serious, guys. There are people in some segment of my life who that's all they know about me. Like, that's where I come from. We want to be part of something unusual, something extraordinary. I want to tell you today that we are part of something that is out of this world. Our group is the group. Our group is that group that everybody wants to be a part of. We have witnesses, crew from here to forever. Hebrews 12 tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, let's strip off every unnecessary weight and sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. What we are a part of. This, I'm giving you reasons to be full of joy and excitement in your pursuit of Christ. From generation to generation, God has been there. God has had a people from generation to generation. At some point, they think this Christianity thing is about to die. See how the churches are being turned into bars. See how everybody is saying they've left the church. This thing is about to die. But on and on, on and on, on and on it goes from generation to generation. That's the story that we are a part of. From Noah to Enoch. That's the guy who was carried away by God. To Abraham and Sarah, to Jacob and Isaac, from Moses to Joshua, to Gideon, to David, to Samuel, to Daniel, to Shadrach, to Meshach, and Abednego, from Rebecca to Deborah, to Abigail, to Naomi, to Ruth, to Esther, from Isaiah to Jeremiah, to Nehemiah, to Ezra, to all the prophets. And we haven't even touched the New Testament. From Simeon to Anna to Mary to Joseph to John the Baptist to the disciples Peter and John and James and Bartholomew and Philip and Andrew and Thaddeus and Matthew and Thomas and Judas and Simeon and James the son of Alphaeus. And what about Paul and Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila and Lydia and Timothy? This is the history. This is the lineage that we are a part of. You're not a part of some small story. You're not a part of some made-up story just came to being the other day. No, you're part of this lineage. This is the greatest lineage on the face of the planet. The writer of Hebrews begins to list all the great things that people have done in Hebrews 11. He runs out of space. In verse 32, he says, how much more do I need to say? It will take too long to recount the stories of faith, of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel. We don't have time to talk about this lineage. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms. These people ruled with justice. These people received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. These are the people, church, that we are following. This is who we are a part of. This is who we are a part of. That should fill you every day with awe and wonder and joy and courage that you are part of something supernatural. Don't let the enemy lie to you that you're just a floating thing that's going to disappear off the face. No, 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 no. Your story of faith is being written every day in the annals of heaven. There is a heaven that's cheering you on. There are witnesses that are cheering you on, telling you you've got this. We did it and you have to get it too. Because we are not getting our promise until you get yours. We are waiting for you to get here. That's the lineage we are part of. And it's not just about us. It's about the God who's made us part of this lineage. Because the God we serve is not a God that was made by any man. He's the God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the creator of the universe. He holds this all together in place. And in addition to all that, he's our Father. At some point in their journey, Moses gets so overwhelmed by this reality. He says in Deuteronomy 4:7, what other nation has gods that are intimate with them the way God is with us, always ready to listen to us? Just think about that. That's what you're a part of. That you have a God a father who's always ready to listen to you. When you're walking in town and you're being rained on, and the guy just passed with his car and splashed water on you, in that moment, when you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling like you're the bottom of the pile, I want you to remember that you have a God, the one who holds the universe together, that he's always ready to listen to you. That the minute you open your mouth and say, hey, he's like, oh, yeah? How can I help you today? Think about that. It's like those people with powerful fathers that when arrested, we can confidently say, do you know? Do you know who my father is? Do you want me to call him right now? Do you know who my father is? Because we know that we have a God. When the enemy comes at you, remind him, do you know who my father is? You coming at me with this thing, do you really know? If I call him now, he will send heaven itself to come and attack you. When you're tempted to feel sorry for yourself and feel overwhelmed by life, remember you're part of this incredible lineage and you have God himself as your father. And keep up your joy. Secondly, what we are a part of, number one, secondly, the promises we have. Come on, guys. We need to be so excited about following Jesus. I feel like our world right now wants to put Christians in the corner. It's like you've done something wrong. You need to be put in the corner to think about your sins. No. No. We need to be excited, full of joy, full of gladness, unashamed, confidently following the Lord, confidently displaying him, because we have great promises. I don't know if any of you ever had your parent, your dad or your mom promise that he would take you somewhere. Oh, he promised he'd buy you a bike. Still waiting. It's been 40 years. Or they told you, you know, we are going somewhere. I remember when primary school, my first overnight trip, you know, I was in class 2, I think. Yeah, you can tell. I went to a good school, guys. We used to do trips in class 2. All right. And Manze, we were told we are going to Kibwezi to perform something. Guys, I'm not even kidding. Our uniform, the trip was on a Tuesday. The uniform that we were going with on that trip was ironed the week before on Thursday. And everyone had to bring it to school. And it was kept in the classroom just in case it might get creases between Thursday and Tuesday. It's like we were waiting with expectation because we had a promise. Think about someone who's waiting for a baby. It's like it's 9 months. We are waiting for this baby to come. We are expectant. We are joyful. See, our Christian life should be filled with joyful expectation. Joyful expectation will keep you excited about following the Lord. Because the minute you lose sight of God and the promises of God and the expectancy of them, you will lose your joy. You will find yourself just going across the day. You're just cruising. You're not expecting anything, especially when things are not working out. When my wife and I were expecting actually pretty much all of our babies, she was so sick. So sick. I mean, every day is just, there's something new. And you wonder why we continue to have them. But it's like, it's like after the first one, surely you should have learned. But I remember distinctly thinking in the midst of that, this is so bad. We would get together and tell each other, babe, listen. It's just 7 more months, and then we can celebrate this joy. Just 6 more months, this baby is coming. Just 5 more months, because even when things are not working, the expectation, the promise that you have on the inside of you will keep you joyful, will keep you excited about following the Lord. We have so many great promises that God has given us. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of this glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Knowing, internalizing, living, expecting the promises of God will shield you from the drama that's going on around you. Because your eyes are on what God has said. Your eyes are on the expectations. And sometimes you are afraid to believe the promises of God because we are human beings. And earthly people have disappointed us. Your dad told you he'd buy you a bike and it's been 30 years. You're still waiting. Someone needs to buy Pastor Kevin a bike. I feel like he needs to be a church rally, so he can get over it. Because we've been disappointed before. But the scripture tells us in Numbers 23 that God is not human, that he should lie. He's not a human being, that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? If God has promised you something, then he will fulfill it. You can have the hope, the expectation, the joyful looking forward that his promise will be accomplished in your life. That what he promised, he will fulfill. There are over 7,000 promises in the scriptures. We don't have time to go over all of them. Let me read you a few. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk blameless. Isaiah 54:10, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Isaiah 40:31, all who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. These are not random words. Jesus told the words that I speak to you, they're not just words, they are life to you. These are the promises you run your race with. These are the promises that will keep you running with joy. Isaiah 41, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. That's the promise of God. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. It is a promise for you that God's peace will guard your heart, that God's peace will guard your mind. When the enemy is coming at you with anxiety and depression, speak the promise of God over your life, that this peace of God will guard my mind and guard my heart. I have this promise, Romans 8:38, I am persuaded beyond doubt, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. That's a promise for you. Mark 11, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, verse 24, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you. Psalm 138:8 says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. These are the promises that you have as a believer. They are yours. You can put them in your pocket and take them to the bank because God who promised them is faithful. Keep the promises of God before you. And it's not just promises for our life on earth. Even our salvation is anchored on the promise of God. John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Heaven is a promise that you have as a believer. Your eternal reward is a promise that you have as a believer. Not only does he promise that you will go there, he promises that he will keep you until you get there. Jude 1:24, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. You are promised salvation. Wage war. As Paul tells Timothy, wage war with these promises of God. Don't let the enemy put you down. Don't let the enemy shortchange you. Don't let the enemy take away your joy. Speak back the promises of God to him. When he reaches in to take away, you're getting worried about the future. When you're wondering about the strength of your salvation, the things that take away our joy, remind him what the promises of God are. When you're feeling like you've been left alone, no one is with you, remember, Jesus said, I am with you always. I like the Amplified of this scripture. It says, Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. That's his promise for us, that he is with us. May that keep you following Jesus joyfully, that I have a promise, I have an expectation, I can look forward to what God is going to do in my life. And then finally, number three, you want to live your life in joy, the testimony of God at work. The testimony of God at work. Here's the thing, we heard about the now in our Sunday message. So many of us are walking around miserable because we are so absorbed by what should be and what will be that we miss what is. We are so consumed by when will I, when will this, when will that. But what is God doing right now? When we sing, excuse me, what we are basically saying is that this display of joy comes from a place of testimony. It comes from a place of what God has done for me. My praise can't be the same as yours because there are things that God has done for me that only he and I understand. That when I'm here dancing and making a fool of myself, it's not because I didn't have anything better to do on a Thursday evening. It's because I'm testifying of the goodness of God over my life. Let what God has done in your life fill you up with joy, because no one can take that away from you. There was a man who was blind and had been blind from birth. Jesus stands up and heals him. And people are upset. Why is he healed? They're trying to figure out, why is this guy seeing? It's really weird when you think about it. So they are hounding this man and telling him, tell us more about this guy who healed you, because we think he's a sinner. And he replies to them in John 9 and says, hey, listen, I don't know whether this man is a sinner. What I know is this. I was blind, but now I can see. All the other things you're telling me, oh, do you know that the Bible talks about the seven heavens, and have you read the Bhagavad Gita, and have you read the Quran, and how it's like, I don't know all those things. I don't care about all those things. All I know is that I was once blind, but now I see. No one can take your testimony away from you. The minute you forget what God has done for you, you begin to lose your joy. My brothers, my sisters, be so aware. What is God doing? Have you been kept alive in the midst of trouble? Testify. Have you been healed from a place of sickness? Testify. Have you passed your exams? Or at least you're able to do it without falling apart? Testify. Testify. God has been gracious to you. Has God answered a prayer? Testify. Were you wondering what you will eat tonight, and then you walked in and realized, hiya, there's chapo and tea here. Look at the God who's faithful. Testify. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? If you testify of God's goodness, if you're constantly testifying of God's goodness, you will always be full of joy. It's hard to remain without joy when you're constantly speaking of the goodness of God. Grateful people are joyful people. And here's the wonderful thing. When you testify, Pastor Kevin was telling us earlier in our team meeting, your win becomes our win. When you testify what God has done for you, it becomes encouragement for me. One Sunday morning, I walked in here, and it was just one of those mornings when, like, you know, you just need to hear something. And one of a friend of mine, the welcome team, stops me and tells me, hey, I've got to tell you something. God came through for me this week. We've been praying for school fees, and I was wondering what was going to happen. You won't believe this. My school fees has been paid for the whole year. I was like, what? I mean, it was exactly what I needed in that moment, to walk into the house of God and say, look, God is working. God is doing great things. God is changing people's lives. God is answering prayers. God is at work. Testify of what God is doing. Now, developing this habit requires we develop two attendant ones. Number one is learning how to attribute everything to God. Because we live in a generation where we don't want to give God his glory. It's almost like if you say any God these days, that's like a bad word. But any God? Any God? How else can I explain the fact that I'm standing here? How else can I explain that I am alive today? How else can I explain that drugs didn't kill me? How else can I explain that alcohol didn't kill me? How else can I explain? Me, sometimes I drive into my house and I'm like, hiya, this is George, driving a car. Wow, I have a wife. I have children. How did they even become? How? How can I explain that? Ni God. It is the Lord that has done it. Learn to attribute things to God. When things go well in your life, when things happen in your life, learn to attribute things to God. Don't be those people like, it was just my effort. Really? Really? You needed air, my friend, to be alive, to be able to do that thing that was just your effort. You must learn to attribute things to God. Our parents were so good at this. It's like every time they walk into the house, you just see people standing. You're like, hey, what's going on? Let's pray. And this is the prayer they would pray in Luo. It's like the funniest thing. It's like, God, we are so grateful that we have traveled here in instruments that have been made by man. And we made it. And that's like part of the prayer. It's like the hands of man were driving us in those instruments. And yet you brought us here. Thank you. They just had a habit of attributing everything to God. And then when we are done, we'd stand up again. Thank you, Lord. What wonderful tea we've had. If it was not for you, blessing the farmer who grew up that cow and brought forth the milk. It's like, let's just be grateful. We have to learn to attribute things to God. This is what fills people with joy in following Jesus, because I see him in everything I do. I see him in the fact that I was able to come from my house and get to school. I don't take it for granted. How many people left their houses and they had an accident on the road and died there? How many? And yet he kept me. Learn to attribute things to God. He's at work in all the details of our lives. None of it is by our own doing. Psalm 115 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to you be all the glory. Develop the habit. Relearn it if you've forgotten it. Ni God is a good thing to say. And say it sincerely. Say, truly, I am giving God the glory. Because if it wasn't for him. And then learn gratitude for everything. Everything needs to be thanked for. Count your blessings often. Be like, look at what I have. We're just talking before the service, Pastor Kevin, about how sometimes when you see, hear the troubles that people have, you think you're sitting here, you have troubles. Imagine you had money to get onto a matatu, maybe even an Uber, to get here. One time we are walking on this street, inviting people to come for that Thursday, and I meet this young man and I speak with him. And he tells me, I'm so glad you stopped me, because I needed someone to ask a question. So I'm like, okay. Then he tells me the wildest story on the face of the planet. He says, I have come from Kitui. I was dropped in town, and I have just been walking. At this point, I am walking to Allsops. So I'm like, okay. In my mind, I'm doing the thing for, of course, he wants money. He's setting me up. And he tells me, the reason I'm going to Allsops is because I'm looking for my father. Something has happened in Shags. Nobody knows where he is. It's been 5 years since we last heard from him. The last we heard is that he lives somewhere in Allsops. So I'm just walking there, just in case I can find him. I want you to pray for me, so that as I go, I may find him. I don't know whether he ever found his dad, but I think about that man often. He wasn't a young man. It's like maybe late 30s. Like, we sit here thinking we have problems. Let me tell you, count your blessings. Count your blessings every day. Name them one by one. Even the things that you have stopped giving thanks for because you think they're just there. Count your blessings. That you have a phone you can use. That you have a Bible you can read. That when you're coming to church, no one comes to shoot at you and says you can't go to church. Then you're lifting your hands in worship, no one is telling you you can't do that here. Learn to give thanks for everything. God is at work in your life. Learn to give thanks. Learn to see him moving. Nothing is too small. And you'll find that as your gratitude grows, your joy will follow. Your excitement for following the Lord will follow. Because we need guys to be people who are out there representing the fullness, the gladness, the overflowing joy that it is to follow Jesus. Sometimes you're telling someone about following the Lord and they're looking at you and like, do I really want to do that thing you do? Because you're just upset all the time. You're always just complaining all the time. Your face is just down all the time. What is that thing you're telling me to follow? No, I don't want to do that. No, we should be filled with the joy of God. His life bubbling out of us. That when people see it, they will see it, as Ms. Rebecca was saying earlier, they will see it and they will glorify the Lord in heaven. They'll be like, I want some of what you have. I want some of what you're following. I want to hear more about that Jesus that you have. So my friends, our time is way over. Remember what you're a part of. Remember you're part of the greatest lineage on the face of the planet. Remember that you're part of a God who holds all of it together. Remember the promises of God. Keep the expectation clear before you and continually testify of what God is doing in your life. And let's go out and live this life filled with joy. Let's represent Christ well. Amen.